The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Go ahead. This homily had a title, it would be The Chosen, but probably not in the way you expect. Before there was ever a TV miniseries about the life of Jesus called The Chosen, there was a novel written in 1967 by Chaim Potok called The Chosen. It doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. It's a novel about two Jewish boys in Brooklyn who meet at a baseball game and through an injury become friends. The narrator is one of the boys who is a modern Orthodox Jew, and he befriends Danny, who is an ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jew. And Danny is brilliant, like photographic memory. And everyone in the community recognizes that Danny is so gifted, he's probably called to be the future rabbi of the community. And Danny has to wrestle with his draw towards studying psychology. A few summers ago, a friend of mine who's a religious sister and I decided to read this book over the summer. And then once we read it, we'd call each other and have a book discussion. And within a minute of the discussion, post-finishing the book, we're already at odds. The question was, why is it called The Chosen, this novel? I had thought, well, Danny, so intelligent, so gifted, it's like he's the chosen one to be the rabbi. And as usually the case, I'm wrong, the sister is right. The sister said, no, I think actually it's probably just because it's two different Jewish communities and experiences. It's about the Jewish people who have always been considered the chosen people. Okay, so isn't that true? And all throughout the Old Testament, that's how God refers to the Israelites. And it's never because they're like the most intelligent ones. They're rarely the most morally excellent ones. They're quite weak and often are unfaithful. But God continues to offer covenants to his chosen people. We read in the book of Deuteronomy, "The Lord your God has chosen you, Israel, out of all the people on the earth, to be his people, his treasured possession." And of course, all those covenants with his chosen people was to prepare the way of the coming Messiah, the Son of God, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And there's maybe a segue into the miniseries, which you probably expected me to mention. It's a wonderful imaginative presentation of the gospel, not, gospel per se, but based on the gospels. And the first time I watched it, several episodes in, I actually asked myself the same question. Why is it called The Chosen? And again, stupid me, I'm thinking, well, maybe Jesus, focus on Jesus, he's kind of like the chosen one. And then I thought, no one ever talks about Jesus as the chosen one. I'm just making that up. You go a few episodes further, and of course, episode by episode, he's choosing these 12 into intimacy with him as his apostles. So maybe The Chosen is a focus on the apostles and their relationship with Christ. And once again, we find out through the Gospels, but yes, the miniseries, that He didn't choose them because of their intelligence, even though some of them are quite intelligent. He doesn't call them because of their moral excellence, because just about every one of them have some degree of moral weakness. He calls them because he loves them, and it's a divine mystery of why he chooses them. But the question then is, if the apostles are the chosen ones, then what are they chosen for? What's clear is the apostles, they're chosen to learn from him, to be with him, to follow him, to be formed by him, to be loved by him. But the last added wrinkle, which is what we get in the gospel today, and yes, there is an episode about this, they're not just to be with him and learn from him, they're supposed to be co-workers with him, to actually let him work in and through them. So it's almost like today he shoves them into the deep end of the pool so that they could try to do his work on their own. So he has very interesting tactics to tell them. He says, go in pairs, don't bring anything with you, and shake the dust from your feet when people reject you. And there's plenty of great insights as to why these instructions are given. First of all, they're going in pairs, presumably because it might be dangerous. They could have each other's backs. Also because there can be moments of real discouragement in mission, and they're there to pick each other up after every fall. Also, if either one of them is fearful and scared to go forward, they can encourage one another forward. But lastly, a beautiful insight I've read is that they went in pairs, Christ commanded them, so that they might exemplify fraternal charity, which is a great sign and proof of the truth of Christianity. So the listeners could see how they love one another, and they would be drawn to their message. He tells them, don't bring anything with you. Walking stick and sandals, that's about it. Why? He, first of all, doesn't want them to be limited by their distractions, all their stuff they've got to handle and carry with them. He also wants them to have a message that has credibility. If people see that they're trying to acquire stuff for themselves, they might have mixed motives. So it's not in it for them. It's purely out of love for their listeners. But also, the idea is that if they don't have much, when their listeners see that, it would evoke charity from them to take care of these traveling preachers. And lastly, this idea of shaking the dust from your feet, which is a public repudiation. So if people listen to the apostles' message of repentance and invitation into relationship with Christ, if they reject that, it's to tell those listeners, listen, this is not just one decision of your life among many decisions. This is the one decision that really matters. It has consequences. And that's the point. So I guess at this point, I'm going to pause and say, not only did I get the novel topic wrong and the title of the miniseries kind of wrong, I still think we don't have it right. Whether the writers and director of the Chosen miniseries explicitly say this, I think the implication is that the viewer is the chosen, right? Through the message of Christ, you are being called. And that's true of the scriptures. St. Paul would agree with that statement. Twice in that second reading, the opening of his letter to the Ephesians, he says, God the Father, who has blessed us through Christ with every spiritual blessing, has chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Later on, he talks about Christ's mission to sum up all things in himself in heaven on earth. St. Paul writes, in him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will. So we, the baptized, are actually the chosen. This is the new and eternal covenant. Anyone who's invited into that covenant is called. And then once again, we can ask, called or chosen for what? To be with him, to learn from him, to follow him, be formed by him, to be loved by him. But here's the last wrinkle, to work with him, to be his co-workers in Redeemer, to be co-redeemers, to let him work in and through us to accomplish his divine purposes, to preach, to invite people into relationship, and to restore, to heal, to order all things back to the glory of God. This is what it means as baptized, to be chosen. This is ennobling. It's not just that God wants to rescue us. After he rescues us, he wants us to be fellow rescuers. He doesn't just restore us. By restoring us, he makes us fellow restorers. We're part of the project now. He's going to throw us into the deep end of the pool. And I suppose today is a good chance, and even this week, in our personal prayer, to ask, as I'm getting thrown into the deep end of the pool to be a co-worker with Christ, to evangelize, to preach, and to heal, what's holding me back? Why do I not see myself as a co-worker with Christ in this mission of redemption? Is it because you think you have so little to offer? We've learned the pattern from the novel to the miniseries to the gospel. He doesn't choose you because you do have a lot to offer. What you do have, he wants to use. It's precisely in your weakness he wants to work in and through you. Are you holding back from being a co-worker with Christ because of your fear? Or maybe discouragement in life? And if that's the case, find a fellow co-worker with you to lift you up and push you onward. Are you holding back because of the many, many, many distractions in your life? The attachments to stuff or tasks, projects, your life's complicated? Well, then simplify. Symbolically, a sandal and a walking stick's all you need. It's time to simplify so we might be clear on the mission entrusted to you. That it doesn't seem like our Lord is sending us out with much, but in reality, he's sending us out with everything. Here at the Mass, he gives us his inspired word, which has power. And then he gives us his flesh and blood, which nourishes and strengthens us and equips us for the mission we've been chosen to do. You probably know this, but at the end of Mass, when I so go forth, the Mass has ended. The original Latin is ite missa est. And probably a more literal translation is go, you're sent. So maybe today, this homily that's dedicated to the idea of being chosen, maybe it's more appropriate for us to remember as we leave Mass today to go, you're chosen.